Well, how many been watching the news lately? No. There's some remarkable events taking place. Okay, some of you haven't noticed. California has now sanctioned gay rights. A lot of people don't understand what this means. It means everything that heterosexuals are entitled to, they are as well. You know, when I first started seeing this on TV, I don't know whether any of you watched any of it. How many of you watched when they had a little special on it? Some of you probably didn't because you weren't interested. But I thought it was real interesting how through one of the short clips there, it went kind of fast. I don't know whether you picked up on it or not. But a couple were praising God. And I sat there, and when I caught that, I got to thinking, praise the Lord, you are returning soon. Because this is a major step for sin to really begin to affect our society. Now, I'm going to make a real bold statement, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from. I don't want nobody to misinterpret what I'm about to say. And I think the reason that the world is not making a distinction between those that are believers and those that are non-believers is because we have allowed sin in our camp. Say. And we represent being cleansed from it. And the world doesn't know what sin is. How many of you know that? It doesn't. We look at the gays and we judge them. But you know, that isn't the only place sin begins and ends. And I don't have a hard time with people so much that are involved in homosexuality as much as the testimony that it brings to a dying world. How many understand what I'm talking about? I want to read you a scripture here in Acts 1:8, and I'm going to make a profound statement, and I want you all to catch it. In Acts 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, this word for witness here is really the Greek word martus. It literally talks about being witnessed as a martyr. And the martyr that he's referring to there is not to lose your physical life in death, physical death. But what he's talking about is being a greater witness than you was before by the kingdom. How many understand what I'm saying? And of course, we've been studying the last Wednesdays, for those of you that have been here, we've been talking about Romans 5 and Romans 6 and Romans 7 and Romans 8. We went into detail on all of them. We got into the works of the flesh and how the works of the flesh literally is the greatest enemy to the cross in your life than the devil himself. Because your flesh is still part of your equation. It has the ability to communicate with you and deceive you more than the enemy. Thank God Jesus defeated Satan. Thank God he told us where he lives. But the problem with the church is they have not made the decision, the fact that Satan uses the medium of our physical body to destroy the kingdom of God within us. And as much as the Bible has declared Jesus, or Satan, has declared Satan a defeated foe, Jesus in the Word of God declares just as much in the Word of God how your flesh has been positioned in death and it has no place in the kingdom of God. And as much as we resurrect our flesh and obey it in its commands, we are no different than one who chooses to sin. I told you I'm going to make some heavy preaching here this morning. But we are living in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, so to speak. But we are definitely in end times. Never before have I seen doctrines of demons and things that happened before this end time coming about in our past. Recent research is seeking to identify specific genes and determine how the genes for traits as addictions, eating disorders, even depression are passed down. They see definite patterns but cannot determine whether the cause is genetic, environmental, or hereditary, or a combination. I believe the root cause is the nature of death at work in the physical world, with no spiritual life of God at work within them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus, or God the Father, came down and saw mankind and said, "My spirit can no longer rule or govern a man's spirit." And so the mankind of at the fall eventually lost all spiritual life concerning God. Now, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to place a mandate in your heart to draw closer to the Lord now than you ever had. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air." Now notice this, "the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had once conducted ourselves in the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others," which literally means you are no longer a child of wrath. Praise the Lord. Amen. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This word "workmanship created in Christ," literally in the Greek, that's a real unique play on words there. He literally talks about a person who has done his finest work to achieve his greatest accomplishment. That is very interesting. You're a very beautifully put together child of God. Hallelujah. God's creative, entire creative workmanship went into your life. And when you got born again, you became a recipient of it. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's how much God went to the extreme effort to do something for you. Praise God. That's so important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you will, turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, the book that we're so familiar with. And let's go to verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, this word destroy here, you might want to make a note there. It is the Greek word luo, which literally means to unravel a person's steps. It means something had gotten around his walk and caused him not to be able to walk, progress, make effort, show success. Are you following what I'm saying? And so he says this person had been luoed, been encompassed or encircled by the works of who? By the works of the devil. Now notice, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Neither does he that does not love his brother. Now notice what he did. In verse 8, he told us something. Said, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And so for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Have you noticed Hollywood? They're now producing movies that shows that Jesus is no different than a natural man. A natural being. He bind that into our society. Now, you know what, Rick Renner? I don't understand the fullness of this. Jerry brought it up. But in his Sparkling Gems, he said over there in Thessalonians, when he talked about what? The falling away? Except the great falling away come. He acquainted that not to the church. He acquainted that to the nations. Isn't that how you was reading it? I didn't read it and didn't get the full impact of it. But I thought it was very interesting that when Jerry said that, I couldn't find it. I went to look for it in the Sparkling Gems. I wanted to catch what he was saying there in the Greek. But what Rick was saying, evidently, he was saying the great apostasy or the falling away there really begins with the nations. Did you know that if the nations begin to fall away, it's because the church is not doing its job to preserve the nations? Did you know that? I was reading an article. Someone who, I don't know how they get the statistics. They did mention some of it, but I didn't understand it. But they gave an alarming statistic at how many churches in America, literally in America, we have outdone the world in synagogues raising up in the form of either cults, denying Christ, and also churches involved in blatant homosexual activity. And these are churches rising up in our midst. In America, they say it's greater in impact because there are more churches and more falling prey to this. And you know, I thought it was very interesting. The Bible speaks of the synagogues of Satan. But you know, I was watching a TV of a large church up in Seattle. I'm not aware of it, but I heard an evangelist start, and I think it was an evangelist started years ago, and he ended up in homosexuality. And I think he might have been responsible for this church. But when they showed it on TV, you couldn't tell the difference between that and a heterosexual church, except for the audience were paired up differently. Same songs that we sing. Same Lord they're praising, just like on that news media. Oh, praise the Lord, we finally have our freedom. I'm going to tell you something, people. And this is a statement I want to make, but I want you to catch it. You can go ahead and do all the statistics you want to about genetics and all this and whatever it is, you know. But I believe the root cause is the nature of death at work in the physical world with no spiritual life of God at work within them. And so what we're getting is what we read over there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through. We were according to the course of this world. Are you following me? But listen, because the churches in America are not doing the job that they're supposed to do by making a distinction what is right from what is wrong, this world is going downhill quick. Now, I am a personal believer that what's going to cause the Lord to return is the scales being tipped in God's disfavor. I believe that He is going to see when the scales start to tip to His disadvantage to bring mankind in, then judgment will come. I am convinced of that because I do not feel that God would let it go down to one man with the nations the way they are. Are you following what I'm saying? And notice what He says here. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as He is righteous. Why? Because Jesus manifested Himself to what? To undo the darkness that surrounds people's lives. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And the world looks at the righteousness of Christ, and the world system is trying to tell the world that is not really what Christ looked like. Now you follow me. But thank God the world's been too indoctrinated about the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is righteous. He lived righteousness. And you can't remove His righteousness from Him. So consequently, that is how the world views our standard. And that's why we've got to be careful that we don't judge them for a standard we don't uphold. For they will turn and they will render you for what you judge them for that you do not do yourself. Now, I never knew this until you start pastoring and then your heart goes out to you, not only for where you lacked in your responsibility of a testimony of the Christ that you represented, for your children, for your friends, for your loved ones. But you also kick yourself for not being the example that you should have been for even those that have gone on, whether they have been with the Lord or not. But every day, there's a part of me that I have to deal with that has not been the example it should have been, and thank God that's in me. Because no matter where you can go and pump gas and be an enemy of the cross or be the greatest thing that could ever happen to a person's life, pumping that gas. Every waking moment that you get up and you go to bed, you've got to realize that your life has got to preach Christ. And I'm not talking about standing out on a street corner on top of a shoebox with a Bible in your hand and thumping it and tell the world they're going to go to hell. I'm talking about being that supernatural blessing that God called you to be. It full of love and power and of a sound mind and on fire for God and knowing how to give out of yourself and love people in spite of people. That is the greatest honor you can do for the kingdom of heaven. We've been talking about how the mind assimilates things and how it thinks, and many of you have come up and said, that is the greatest teaching you've ever heard because you're now getting to understand how your mind processes things. That is a key thing because, you know, if you've got the wrong kind of mind going, you're going to be a good little Christian at church, but when you get out in the working world, you'll live like the devil. They won't see anything any different in you. And the sad thing about it is that you go out there in the world and you start fellowshipping with people, and it's a small world, and then you run across somebody that knows somebody that's a member of your church, and you're a pastor over him, and they tell me, he's a Christian? How can you call him a Christian? Well, why are you saying that? Well, I've had some business dealings with that guy or that woman, and I'll tell you what they're like out here in the world, and you're going to tell me they're a Christian? And you're their pastor? What are you teaching them? I've had that happen to me quite a few times. And the sad thing about it is, I forgot who it was that gave me this testimony. It was real powerful. You might be here today. If you are, stand up. But you used to be you're a retired policeman, and you used to work down at the county city building, and you were telling me that you had something to do with the jails or something, and you were telling me, I decided not to go to God's Word, because most of the people who are coming to jail here were from your church. And I went, what? He says, yeah, I thought you guys were whacked. He says, but now I'm here and I found you're not. What a bad testimony. We as believers, we should live what we say we are. Not what we think is the right thing to say, but the right thing to do. I'm going to tell you something, people. Witnessing is not easy. You have to do it 24/7. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this witnessing thing. Adults. Let's talk about adults here and children, first of all. First of all, in the adult world, your world is a completely different perspective than your children. Whole different perspective. Listen, the child, your children, or children, or people, is presently making their history. These kids are presently making their history. Are you following me? But listen, you've got to understand, your perspective as an adult is totally different than their perspective. Now listen, an adult, you have a history, whether it's good or bad, and your children, they are presently living that history that you're in. With you. Now, what grieves me is over the years I've followed up even on our children. And every parent that did not order the spirituality over their children have chosen the wrong way and they're out in that world. And they're dying. They're not even in church. And that grieves me. Because we have a church that's abundant with the Word of God. But aren't you hearing it? Aren't they hearing it? No. You know what? You can say to yourself today, if your children are not where they're at, it's because you've fallen short of your testimony for them. You've compromised your spiritual walk with God. And therefore, your children see that compromise in you, and then they begin to the same process that you have presently taken. Church is really not that interesting. I'm going to tell you something. Your testimony for this dying world and children are very important, and you're responsible for it. You need to be men and women of fire for God. And you need to be men and women of integrity in your heart for the Lord. And you need to swear by your own heart so that your children and your friends and your loved ones all know your position with God. And it's solid. And you have a right to be that way. And you have a right from freedom of sin and the degradation of this world. My heart's challenged every day because I find the wrong testimony wanting to foster out of my outer man every day. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. And I have to sit and deal with that all the time. So frustrates me. But God told me, thank God you're frustrated because you're dealing with it. Are you following what I'm saying? Our children and our friends and our loved ones and our church is very important to us. We have to have a love that's beyond natural for one another and for our children and for our friends. Are you following me? It's got to be a supernatural love. We cannot continue into sin, because if that's the case, then are you truly born again? A child's mind is very interesting. They're presently developing their mindset. But listen, the adults, their mindset is already pretty much adopted much of their mindset, an adult. But a child hasn't. Now, it could possibly be, not all parents are not even aware that their children's mindset presently being set is not good. When I started my church in Bremerton, turned it over to Don, I don't know what happened to this young couple. Nice looking couple. Children, 3 or 4 kids. On the surface, you'd think, wow, these children are beautiful. This is the most best family as an example in my church I know of. And, of course, my association on the surface with them was always real tight. Till I got a phone call one day. They said they wanted to come into council. And I said, okay. I couldn't figure out what that was. And so when they came in and sat down, they both poured their heart out to me, and I went into shock. And I said, are you guys okay? And both of them said, Pastor, we both have the same similar background. And I said, oh, you do? We were raised in a Christian home. Both of them. Raised in a Christian home. And so what does the matter? We have the same problems that they had. I said, well, what problems are those? We fight. We're almost at the point of divorce. And she said, not verbal. We get into fist fights. I went into shock. Then they said, not only that, but alcohol is a major part of our home. Both their parents drank. And both of them gave me this testimony. That come Sunday, they cleaned up and went to church. Then during the week, they went to hell. And I says, well, what affected you the most? And she said, well, what turned both of us off the most about Christianity was that my parents at home would tear the church to pieces right in front of us. And then come to church and play the God role. And she said both of them realized that they allowed that to get into their heart and disrespect the kingdom of God. Soon I made a decision that when we raise Lindsay and not like the others, we'd be careful what we say in the church. And even now, we try to be as careful as we can with our kids, even though they're grown, and what we say about the church. And sometimes I kick myself saying the wrong thing and thinking the wrong thing about even you guys. It's wrong. But thank God, it's getting less and less. And now my children are starting to bless me. It's coming back on me. They're starting to bless me. When I made a decision, I'm going to be the best lover I can be for my friends and my children and my family and my church, I started seeing things turn in the hearts of even my children. My son, Tim, I love him so much. Got a wonderful heart. I'll tell you, if I don't go in the rapture and they lay me in the grave, I want my son to be able to look over my grave and say, my dad was a man that loved the Lord. You know, if that's the legacy I want to leave for my children, that would be it. It doesn't matter. People are what they are, and I've learned to accept people as they are because that's the choice they make. Everyone makes choices. Amen? But it's important as a pastor to tell you, make the right choices so that you may live and not die. But you know what? I'm going to make this bold statement. I believe that the reason many believers fall short of being transformed into the glory of God is because of their environmental structure. I'm a strong believer in that. When you submit your soul, that is the weakest part of your mind, the carnal mind, it's environmental. And what you put that soul to is the environmental impact you'll get from it. And when you starve that soul, it will lose an interest. When you feed that soul, it will gain an appetite. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, environmentally speaking, you can get away with all the genetics you want to. I believe that is a bunch of bunk. I believe that when you want to put the rubber to the road, it's what you impact your soul with, the environment you place it in, that's going to affect it. You know what? I have been around a bunch of believers that were on fire for God, and we get to talking, and we get to talking about the goodness of God and the Word of God and everything. And when you'll find, usually, if you have a carnal believer in the midst of you, he will shut up, he'll shut down, and he'll feel out of place. Why? Because he's not in that same level. Are you following me? So environment does make a difference. And I found that my flesh does not like the environment of church. My carnal mind doesn't like church. Why? Because it knows about God, and the closer I get to God, the further I go into the presence of God, the more the carnal mind of me and my flesh is going to rebel. And then it says when a guy goes to God, then backs off, it's harder for him to get back. I found out why. You condition your flesh and condition your carnal mind to be without God for a second, and you go back to God, it's going to fight you harder. Why? Because your flesh and your carnal mind don't like God. Boy, I wish I could get that across to a believer's mind. And to sit there and tell somebody, did you know that Satan hates the kingdom of God? You'll go, well, get a clue, brother. But when you tell them about your flesh and your carnal mind, they go, what's that all about? Because you walk with this thing and you talk with it and you even collaborate and it self-deceive you. Somebody said, what does the voice of the flesh sounds like? Get up one morning and make a decision that you need a break today. And the commandment of the sabbatical will not be in your heart. And one of the Ten Commandments is that you will favor the Sabbath. And guess what? That's a heart thing. What happens if you don't favor the Sabbath? Your heart is not there with God. I was guilty as you all. I used to be a pew sitter instead of the pastor. Pastor, he preached to get you committed to church. Sure, I'm just him trying to, you know, force his way. But all the time, I get up. Oh, you know what he's going to preach today. Where are you going to go to? Flesh. Because you have to be influenced every day of the week with the Word of God. You and I need it. You need to be influenced by it. And we kick off and give our flesh that place. Look out, your testimony is going down the toilet. Now, hope you're getting something here this morning. If not, it's a warning. I believe that man is not going to be judged because of sin. Do you know that's not going to happen? Why? Up until the cross. Until the cross, sin was judged. Then what is man going to be judged for? Because of the effect of sin he chooses to continue in that falls on mankind. Remember I said it's environmental? Don't tell me you put your body on the cross and you don't really have a desire for the Word of God because you pulled your body off the cross and you've resurrected him again. Because your spiritual man, when you start feeding it the Word of God, it'll crave more and more and more. I had somebody tell me, "Oh God, please break my flesh so that I will quit doing what I'm not supposed to do." That's a worthless prayer. You have to make a choice to do it yourself, and through the authority of the Spirit, you can accomplish it. But your spirit has to be powerful. It has to grow. It has to be fed. And I see so many believers struggling with their walk with Christ year in and year out and year in and year out. What is the problem? The problem, there's no consistency in your life. You've got to be consistent with God. That's why churches like By His Word is not going to become too popular, because the church is getting more liberal in its approach to God rather than more conservative. And narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. You know what? Thank God I will never have this testimony. Marietta Davis said that she had experienced a moment in hell. And it was a place that ministers who led the souls of men to hell through their interpretation of the Bible that was not godly. And they were accusing this guy of interpreting the Bible as a passport to hell. And you know what I thought was very interesting? She had concluded, this angel had concluded to Marietta, even though they are attacking each other and they're going at it tooth and nail, the ones that are attacking the preacher are just as guilty as the preacher himself. Why? They're blaming their right on somebody else when they had a right themselves to choose. And I got to thinking, my gosh, this girl had a genuine experience with God. Turn over to Ezekiel 18. My clue to these doors of sin opening up is a chance that you and I need to rejoice, because it shows the time is very very near when we start seeing the nations wanting out of God. And the United States, I got news for you. The spirit that's over America now, they want out of God. Whether you realize it or not, they want out of God. How do I know? By some of the laws that are being passed. Just like this major thing about homosexuals. But it doesn't begin and end there. They're getting now to where they don't even want the Ten Commandments displayed anywhere. They don't want to have Merry Christmas. They want a Happy Holiday. This is all the signs of the time, people. Give us our right to serve the faith we want to. This nation was founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in Ezekiel 18, you have to be very careful how you teach generational things. The word of the Lord came to me, verse 1, Ezekiel 18, 1, saying, "What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel." Oh my gosh, we have just undermined the spirit of the mind that's going on today. Why? You're a victim of how you've been raised. "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains," that means the shrines of the idol worshippers, gone up on the mountain and offered unto them, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, has not restored to the debtor his plague, has robbed, so forth, so on. He goes on down, and then about verse 10, he really gets into 10, 11, 12, and 13, Nadab's son. But notice verse 14. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done, now follow me, and considers, but does not do likewise. Do likewise. Now, let's go on up to verse 17, in the second half of it. But has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Now notice verse 19. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father after the guilt of the son. The righteous of the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. Self, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. What is the argument here that God is trying to make? Here's what he's saying. Everyone is going to come under judgment. But they're not going to stand in judgment before me because of what somebody else made them.
Right.
They're going to be accountable for their own actions.
Right.
Uh-oh. See, this is the spirit where the nation of Israel is coming from. The Spirit wants to blame others for their outcome. They do not want to take personal responsibility. And that's a spirit that's going on today in our midst big time. Even though I do acquaint environment is a major thing on the soul. Listen, people, you have a mind of your own, and every day you choose. Every day you make choices. Every day you make a choice. Every day when you get up, you make a choice. You're going to live for God, or you're going to make a choice to live for your flesh. But you know what? None of you in this building would ever make a choice to live for the devil. But he uses you if your testimony is not what God expects it to be. I'm sorry to get on your case here this morning, but I'll tell you what. It is so sad when I sit and listen to people that willfully damn their souls to hell and praise God for it. And the church has not made a standard, so a clear standard, that you cannot live a dual lifestyle. There were, you know, if the church doesn't know how to judge itself, then where are the sinners going to end up? You know, that's found in Peter there. He said, if the righteous are scarcely saved, you know, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about scarcely a judge. If judgment doesn't begin in the house of God, then where is the unbeliever going to be? We sit and we look at these people and they're going to hell in a handbasket and they're praising God. But the church should have done a better job at making a distinction of what's not of God and what is of God. To try to help them.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything in front of my wife, but I went into the garage and I groaned. I groaned within myself and cried. Because these people, they don't know how to mean well. They don't know the example. They're going to churches that they themselves don't even realize they're a church of Satan, the synagogue of Satan himself. They don't even see it. Why? Well, because we're not getting more involved in the Word of God and getting this thing understanding in our head, so we make a distinction. I church members, I went to coffee shop with them. We're sitting there talking. Not one time did they mention Jesus out of their mouth. It's all six-figure digits of what somebody's earning. My gosh, where'd these people fall to? Back into the world? I like meeting people that are more on fire for God.
Amen.
Sit in my office and a gal comes in there and thanks me. And sitting there telling me how this this pastor had really given her light. And what light's that? How many demons that she's been fostering all these years, and she's now getting rid of them all. And no defense. No defense for faith. This morning, I hope what I said touches you a little bit to understand. We're close. The time is short, people. We need to be dedicated for our children, for our loved ones, for our friends, for our church. We need to be dedicated to God.
Yes.
We got a dying world out there that needs help. And the only thing that's going to help them is the love of God. But you know, the love of God has to have a standard. It does. It has to have a standard. We've got to be in either on one side of the fence or the other. We cannot be playing with leaning walls. Do you know what I mean by that? A wall that could come crashing down. We need to be firm in our belief. Firm what's right from wrong. But how to love people in spite of. Are you following me? Because they're doing it by nature. If God was going to judge sin at the great white throne, then the unbeliever would have a legitimate excuse. They would say, what would you expect? That's my nature. But God can come back and say, but I provided a way for you to receive a new nature. Why? His name was Jesus. Because your body of sin he placed on the cross, and sin was judged in his body in your place.
Right.
Where's your excuse? The reason you're being judged is because you chose darkness rather than light. And you know what's really interesting? Now when you talk to some people you thought were Christians, you know what they tell you? That's just your interpretation of what heaven's going to be like. It's getting into the minds of the church big time, people. I've talked to some Christians who says you have to respect other faiths. I heard a big minister on TV say that they disagreed with a certain lady's quote, that if they don't come to Jesus and get converted, they'll go to hell just like any other nation, the Jewish nation that she was referring to. And he said, I disagree with that. You have to learn to respect other faiths. Well, if you learn to respect other faiths, where are you going to draw the line of what you believe? No, if you don't get born again, you go to hell. Well, then, how do I get born again? It's not by believing in Buddha. Well, how do you get born again? Receive Jesus Christ and turn from your old life. You don't get born again and pick up your old lifestyle. No, that's what you call a Christian is walking in the flesh. No, you get born again, you start living a new lifestyle. What's that mean? New walk, new talk, and new way of seeing things. New way of thinking. Never in America before. They gave a percentage of a lot of churches when they asked Christians if they were in their first love, and the percentage was so low they couldn't even put it 1%, where Christians in America have lost their first love for God. Just by the questions that they asked them. I know I need to make it right. You know, whenever we were on TBN, it was a proven fact. TBN came to us and said, you know one thing about your show? Every time you get on there, she says, all the calls we get, they gave me a stack of them. She says that I would get right with God because our programs would ignite in their heart that they need to be right with God. And they're Christians. What's wrong with us as believers? We should be on fire for God 24/7. I'm more on fire for God now than I've ever been. Why? Well, it's because I've been doing something about it, believe it or not. Christian, I wish I was on fire like I used to be. Well, what's your problem? Your father been eating sour grapes? New commitment in America, people. The more you start seeing the world go towards death, new commitment on our part.
Amen.
Fresh life.
Yes.
New commitment. Pull as many out of hell as you possibly can.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for the word of God this morning. I don't regret it. But Father, I do believe that your people that you have blessed me with, they need to be challenged. Father, because they're just as vulnerable as anyone else. They're just as vulnerable as I am. If we don't keep ourselves on the cutting edge with you, Father, we can miss out. And we can enjoy things here just as much as we can there. But they're much greater here when we enjoy them through you than sin and death. So, Father, today, as I begin to release this service, I want everybody to stand up. Father, as I begin to release this service, Father, if there be anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus, Father, I want to pray for them. And I want to lead them into the kingdom of God. Oh, what a pleasure it would be, Father, for them to change citizenship. But as long as they stay connected to this world, they're going to be death doomed. But Father, the focus that I want to put on this morning of praying for your wonderful people, if there are any believers here who can truthfully admit to themselves they need more of God in their daily walk because they've slacked on their walk with you, I want to pray with them, Father. I want to pray with them that they will do the things that are necessary to ignite a fresh fire in them so that they could be back where their first love of Christ hit them so that they'll never regret their walk with you but always love the fragrance of your life in theirs. So, Father, this morning I want to focus my attention on everybody's heart here that they would be committed to go back to that place of their first love for you, recognize what is not of you, and recognize what is of you, and begin to walk that path.
Yes.
But before I do that, if you're here and you want to get saved, I want you to come down the front right now. Anybody that really wants to give their heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We have some altar ministers here that will begin to work with you if that's the case. Hallelujah. 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 You have a word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord put a picture on my mind this morning. Actually, it wasn't this morning, but it was this week. And this I'm addressing to all of you who have felt like God is out there or over there somewhere. You love God, you know God, you've been churched in God. But he put this picture so, well, it's where he is. I was driving in the car, and I was going somewhere that I needed to go to pick up something. And I said, I really don't want to be alone, Lord. I want to talk to a friend. He said, well, I'm your friend. And I said, yeah, I know you're my friend, but you're out there. He said, no, I'm not. I'm sitting in the car with you. And I said, Lord, that's really close. He said, yeah, it's closer than even sitting. And he said to me, so many times we go wayward in our thinking, in our doing, in our zeal and our passion for him because we think he's out there and we're praying like we're trying to pull him in when he's always been right here. When he went away, he said, I have to go because God gave me the 12 disciples and they went out into the world. And he says, and that's what you're supposed to do, go out into the world. But he said, the only way I can be with you is to leave. Well, how did he do that? The Holy Spirit. He left us the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit living closer than the seat in the car. He's in the seat of our heart. He He's living and breathing every breath we breathe with us, because our body is God's temple. We don't have to go to church to find God or hear about God. We can open our Bible. We can pray in our spiritual language and connect with the Holy Spirit, living and abiding inside of us. He is driving inside of us, living and breathing with us. If you need strength as a Christian, if you're asking God questions, pray in the Holy Spirit, in your spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Pray. Get your face in the Bible. Read what God has already done and said. And think about it and meditate on it and chew on it and live it and breathe it. God is not out there. He's in here. Then you'll have the strength. You'll have the knowledge. You'll have the understanding that you need for that moment in time. And you'll have His love always pouring into your heart. You'll never be without. Never be without. Because God is in you if you are His.
This is the direction we're going in right now. The Lord told me that everyone in this building, you know who you are. And you know that you have stepped out of His presence. And I'm not going to have an altar call to embarrass you or make you feel out of place. But I'm going to have a congregational call right now. And right where you're at, this is what I want all of us to do. I want us all in this building to make a commitment to get back into that first love that we once had, to where we were so on fire from the Lord that people would fall out under the power of me just being in a room with them. Are you following what I'm saying? And evidently there's several of you in my body that you have distanced yourself from God. I don't know who you are because I don't know your hearts. But I know the call of God in my heart for the service this morning. And He's showed me real clearly. We got a world that is going to hell and they don't know the difference. And except the church be what it is. And you touch many lives, everyone in this building. You go places and communicate with people and touch people I'll never see. But I'll tell you what, the message that God puts on my heart can be the message in your heart to reach that dying world. Hallelujah. That is so important. And so this morning, right now, what I'm going to do with everybody standing, I want you to make a confession with me and mean it in your heart. Mean it in your heart. And I'll tell you what, your rest of your day will be so blessed, it'll just knock your socks off. Praise God. How quick God will draw close to you after you ask Him to draw nigh to you. So are you ready? This is what I feel real strongly. You know who you are and you need to correct that walk. Then you just go right along with me. And as far as we're concerned, history is what it is. And the beginning is what it is. And it's glorious. Hallelujah. If you mean it from your heart. Are you ready? Dear precious Father, I am so sorry. I stepped away from my first love. I'm going to challenge my mind in my flesh. You will not communicate with me to remove you from me. I'm going to bring the fire back. It's up to me, and I'm doing it. I'm going to step now right back into my first love by faith. Hallelujah. All right, take the step. Just take one little step to your side. There you go. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Scott, I want you and your wife to come up here. I have a word for you, Goo. Come up here. Hallelujah. We'll close in just a minute. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This might catch you a little off guard, but the Lord has a word for both of you. Is that all right with you? You don't feel embarrassed or anything, do you?
No.
When a city is vacated, and the only thing that's left is the ruins of it. So I saw this city and it was in ruin. And somehow this city affected both of you very much in your heart. The Lord told me to tell you both that you forget the old waste. You forget the old way of life. And venture on into the new and fresh waters. For it is the life that both of you have always known in your heart, but didn't know it in words. But God is going to put a freshness into your heart and life for His kingdom and for you and for your children and for generations. It's important that you move closer into me for those around you and those whom you affect. Because you had a testimony at one time, but the testimony brought a crippling effect into your home and life. But I say unto you, I am rebuilding the structure of the kingdom of God in both your hearts. And those old places and those old cities that we once relied and trusted in will never more have an effect on our heart and life. For you've come into the true city of the living God, which will bring a greater abundance back into your heart and life. And yea, you will even begin to soar financially, and you will begin to move in a place of peace you've never known before. And some of that financial stress I'm going to help you out with, saith the Lord, to relieve you of some of it. You trust in me and rely on me, and go back to the God which you always knew in your heart before men stepped in and distorted it. Always go back to that God of beginnings that was really in your heart to begin. For I am that God, I am your true God, saith the Lord. There you go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Buke dashan. Edeki platre shendo rite. Demanachke hede sando libit anjede. Hallelujah. There's several of you in this body that are businessmen that are setting out. And I've seen where sometimes the environment can be very disheartening for you. But to be of new heart, fresh mind, and trust the Lord. Trust the Lord over your possessions and your goods. I'm speaking to you, Bob. Trust over the Lord over your goods and everything you set your heart for. Because that's of the Lord. And He wants you to succeed. And He wants you to succeed financially. And that's what I was trying to share with you last Sunday. Don't abandon the freshness of your heart over putting your faith on things that you're hoping to come to pass. But find Scripture and stand firm and don't let the carnal mind rob you or the devil rob you out of fervency for what you desire for your heart. Tom Davis, I'm speaking to you the same way. If you desire to succeed, don't abandon your freshness of faith over it. But keep your faith alive for it. Hallelujah. And you will succeed. You will succeed, Bob. Hallelujah. You determine your outcome because the authority is in your hands. Hallelujah. And God's behind it. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. 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 Father, I thank you for this wonderful people. And as they go their way this day, they are going to be a success. They are going to succeed in this life. They are going to be the example that they should be. And Father, we trust you in it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.